From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Peña with your state and local news update. President Biden today signed a bill that will allow cruise ships to return to Southeast Alaska this summer. Alaska Public Media's Washington correspondent Liz Reskin reports.
The bill required a temporary change to the Passenger Vessel Services Act, a law that has stood since 1886. Alaska's congressional delegation beamed as they spoke to reporters outside the White House. Congressman Don Young said it was a great moment.
First time that the Passengers Act has been touched in about 135 years. We feel great as a delegation. We got it done in 10 days.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki called the Alaska Tourism Restoration Act a critical step toward normal for Alaska's economy. She also praised the politics of how the bill became law.
This bill is an example of the critical bipartisan work that can be done in Congress, and the president is grateful to Senator Murkowski and Congressman Young for their leadership in this area.
Nearly all cruise ships are foreign-flagged and have foreign crew. The Passenger Vessel Services Act forbids foreign ships from taking people on domestic voyages. The cruise industry has been getting around the law by stopping in Canada. But with the COVID-19 pandemic, Canada stopped allowing it. The new law gives Alaska-bound cruise ships a temporary break by counting such trips as foreign, even without the stop. Objections to it came from both parties in Congress. Some Republicans, especially Senator Mike Lee of Utah, took a stand against the PVSA in general, arguing it's not useful and should be repealed. Several Democrats saw the bill as an opportunity to pass reforms to the cruise industry. In the end, one item was added to the bill, a requirement that cruise ships carry defibrillators. U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan told reporters the signing ceremony presented an opportunity of its own.
You can imagine when you're in there with the president, you can raise other priorities for your state.
Sullivan says they brought up what he says are the merits of advancing the Willow Project, a ConocoPhillips oil drilling venture in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
In other news, the leaders of Sea Alaska, the native corporation for Southeast Alaska, are asking its shareholders to approve the creation of a type of tax shelter called a trust. The corporation says the proposal would help lower shareholders' tax rates on the dividends they receive from Sea Alaska, but some shareholders worry that the tax tool is vaguely defined and would leave too much power in the board's hands. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
Sea Alaska's philosophy around investments has always been one based on our native values.
That's Sea Alaska Chief Executive Anthony Malott in a two-minute video produced by the corporation. Settlement trusts are a tool used by big companies, and in this case, Sea Alaska's board of directors would do double duty as the trustees who would control how any money transferred into the trust would be shared and spent. That's important to more than 20,000 Sea Alaska shareholders who receive regular dividend payments based on the corporation's financial performance. Those same shareholders have final say over this plan, which is being put to a vote as a resolution in June. At a recent virtual forum, Malott promised that nothing would really change for shareholders if the trust was created.
The calculation of the dividend amounts, the calculation based on per share stays the same. Paying the dividend out twice a year stays the same. So it'll just flow through the trust as opposed to getting a check directly from Sea Alaska.
But some shareholders say they've read Sea Alaska's 14-page proposal and see some red flags, like language that would give the board broad authority to decide the amount of future payouts, as well as who would receive them.
The trustees may distribute some, all, or none of the net income, accumulated net income, or principal of the trust to the beneficiaries.
That's the text word for word, read by Joan D'Angeli, a shareholder who says that there's little recourse should the board decide to skip payments or pay some groups of shareholders more, others less.
Well, this is a really big issue. I see the language not matching the kind words about what's going to continue.
Vicky Sobolov worked for Sea Alaska as a financial officer for more than a decade. Now she's running for the board of directors as an independent candidate. She says she's on the fence about whether she'll vote in favor of the resolution.
I feel that there are a lot of positive aspects potentially with passage of the trust. However, at this time also, there are many questions related to the trust, and I don't feel, after speaking with shareholders, that they are comfortable voting yes.
Sea Alaska's management declined interview requests, but released a statement that says every decision is made with shareholders in mind, and this one would ease their tax burden. Sea Alaska has organized several virtual meetings for shareholders, only fielding questions submitted via a chat window. Malott was asked by a shareholder why there's language that allows the trust to ignore an existing formula to pay dividends. The chief executive says that's because funds moved into the trust could be used to pay out scholarships, burial assistance, and other benefits with different payment structures.
Dividends are not going to be diluted in their current form, but it is possible that additional benefits get paid out of the trust that don't follow per share. But those are benefits that Sea Alaska shareholders are already very familiar with.
Sea Alaska's statement says that other native corporations already use settlement trusts with similar structures. Goldbelt, Juneau's native corporation, is one such example. Its trust, established in 2019, defines special programs that can be paid out by the trust. But Sea Alaska's proposal doesn't go into such detail. It leaves everything up to the trustees to decide. And that worries shareholders like D'Angeli.
It's a big issue. It's one of the first things I spotted, that I couldn't find consistent language matching what they're verbally telling us.
The corporation says it will only require a simple majority of those voting for the resolution to pass. That's a lower bar than two shareholder resolutions opposed by the board that would reform how elections are run. Voting is already open for Sea Alaska's election for directors and resolutions. The final tally will happen at the Native Corporation's annual meeting on June 26. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
In local news, after considering raising then lowering the local property tax rate, the Juneau Assembly decided to keep it the same. The annual property tax bill on most $300,000 homes in Juneau is $3,198. City officials began the budget process this year with a lot of uncertainty about federal aid, the pandemic, and the cruise ship season. The manager proposed raising property taxes a little and burning through about a fifth of the city's savings to keep the city government running over the next year. In light of federal pandemic relief money and higher than expected property values that became clear over the spring, city finance officials still expected a several million dollar gap between income and spending, but a significantly smaller one. That prompted the Juneau Assembly last week to reject the manager's proposed tax increase and debate lowering the property tax rate. Assemblymember Michelle Hale suggested the tax cut.
If not now, then when? We are in the second year of a recession. We've had incredible benefit from the federal government to keep us whole, really. But we are in the second year of a worldwide pandemic. We're coming out of it now. We expect to be more out of it next year, financially in particular. And that's why we have reserves.
Hale said she didn't have financial relief for property owners in mind. Instead, she said she just didn't want the government to raise more money than it needs. Hale didn't get enough support to lower the property tax rate, but Assemblymember Maria Gladyszewski pushed to keep the property tax rate flat, passed unanimously.
There's still uncertainty in revenues that we're facing. We still have a deficit, but I absolutely believe it's responsible to collect enough revenue, pay for the new thing that you're doing. And we are doing a new thing, and that's childcare.
She was referring to a subsidy program for childcare businesses that's intended to increase childcare availability and affordability in Juneau. City finance officials project the near final tax rate and budget would burn through a $5.7 million of the city's reserves over the next year. There are several pieces of the city's budget that the Assembly will have to adopt over the next few meetings. Tonight, the Assembly plans to adopt the Juneau School District's budget. On June 14th, it plans to adopt the city's overall operating budget, a capital budget, and the property tax rate. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.